Our next guest on the Lee Rayburn Show has been the State Broadband and Digital Equity Director for our Public Service Commission in Wisconsin since 2019. And just last month, Governor Tony Evers and the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin released the sixth and final annual report of the Governor's Task Force on Broadband Access. So how are we doing? And how are we doing it? What questions do you have about getting internet access across Wisconsin to all points? You can join our conversation with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. And the State Broadband and Digital Equity Director for our PSC is Alyssa Kenny. And Alyssa, welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me.
So when did the governor's task force begin? That was, was it 2020?
Yeah, right in 2020. It was executive order number 80 from Governor Tony Evers. He established the task force kind of right, I would say, 1 month into the pandemic. There's kind of nothing like kids doing their homework in school in a fast food parking lot to make broadband be the highest topic of concern. And so the task force was established right in April of 2020.
Boy, Alyssa, you aren't kidding. When I think back to those days and how the only way we could connect was through the internet, how crucial internet connection became and how abundantly clear it was that this was something that was not equitable across the state, which was in your title. So what's your role in all this, and how do you see internet access in Wisconsin as a priority, as a utility, as a necessity?
Sure. My role, I sit at the Public Service Commission, although broadband in Wisconsin is not a utility. It's an unregulated service. And so, but largely what we do in our office is we run a number of state and federal grant programs. We oversee the Wisconsin broadband map. And maybe most importantly for the discussion today, we're staffed to the members of the Governor's Task Force on Broadband Access. So we help staff that task force and help develop that report and provide a lot of the data and state of things. As far as access, you know, I'm the broadband director, but I see it as essential. I see it essential for access to society, school, work, healthcare. I like to say cat videos. I don't actually really like cat videos, but
you could say mental health. You could say mental.
Just joy and belonging and fun, right? We all should have equal access to the things that give us that sense of connection, belonging, smiles, even entertainment. I know people like to talk about those real essentials like logging into your job or to your school or to your healthcare appointment, but people should also be able to, you know, access the Packers games every day. So,
what are the barriers to equal access for the internet in Wisconsin as you see it, Alyssa?
Sure. So the internet, unregulated marketplace, providers are allowed to build internet, you know, where they want to and where they often want to build, where there's the best business case. And so that will leave behind locations that might have exceptionally high cost or be difficult to get to, or it leaves people maybe with an older service, like a legacy type of service, like maybe a DSL service, and they just don't get upgraded because it's a sort of a better business case to upgrade in a higher density. And so a lot of where internet is deployed has to do with the density of the locations. And then also sort of where there's some providers that also sort of think of themselves as having like a co-op territory or a special area of the state that they serve. And kind of once they get outside of maybe their co-op or their electric area or something, they don't want to sort of keep expanding. And so there's lots of small holes. We've been making those small holes even smaller, but there just certainly remain locations left behind by both no internet and then even more so now people that just don't have adequate internet to really fully engage in digital society.
What about the advent of fiber optics? How has that changed access and equity for internet in Wisconsin?
Sure. And so I feel like the person you had on right before me is more of an expert, but fiber is, you know, fiber is not new. It's like 50, 60 years old. If Doug Dawson was still on, he would say a different number, but it's old. But what I think is really important is maybe the electronics on the end of it, and that we're really using that for the end user connection now. And so what I like to really say is fiber is glass, and glass is the speed of light. And people, they want their internet at the speed of light. They don't want it at the speed of copper, and they often don't even want it at the speed of sound or at the speed of anything that weather will interfere with. And so copper or fiber is a great technology, but we have been using it for a long time, and we've been expanding it for a long time.
Let's go to your calls for our guest, Alyssa Kenny, State Broadband and Digital Equity Director for our PSC in Wisconsin, 1-800-642-1234. And we'll start with Elaine in Burnwood. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. We've been notified by our provider, like Frontier, that our phone services will be discontinued on or after November 16th. And what I'm concerned, we got this letter at the church, and right now, it's the internet and the phone service is through DSL and Frontier. So Frontier is providing both.
Are there other internet providers or phone providers that you know of in Burnwood, Elaine?
And we contacted them, and they said it'd be $30,000 to run the line.
Yeah. Yeah, this is where it becomes difficult because it's not cost feasible. And if it's not cost feasible and yet a necessity, therein lies the rub to me, Alyssa. And I'm sorry to hear this, Elaine, and I thank you for sharing it because you're not alone. As our previous guest pointed out, DSL is going the way of the dodo. But the question then becomes, what comes after?
Yeah, this is Elaine, thanks for calling. And this is a notice a lot of people in northern Wisconsin got just in the last couple weeks, that there's a large sort of DSL retirement happening in the state. And what's challenging is that there's all these diverse technologies. There's cell service and there's satellite, I heard you just talking about. But for some folks, they have this compounding problem of kind of everything doesn't work well. The DSL is going away, the satellite might work depending on the tree cover, and might work, you know, and the opportunity to get new service can be incredibly costly. And this is largely sort of related to the kind of deregulation of broadband. So we don't have any sort of authority to make somebody keep serving. It is really disappointing, and I can imagine it's very difficult for the folks who already had some of the least adequate broadband to have that going away and to now be trying to find solutions that are either quite expensive or, maybe concerning you that you're not going to be able to actually connect to phone service, like the cell towers won't reach you and things. And so the commission, we certainly, we don't have the sort of the authority to make them do that, but we certainly understand that when people retire their service before the new service is built, it can be really disappointing for a community or a customer.
Thank you for the call, Elaine. And I think in the governor's task force report, it did mention that when it came to funding, there was no funding in the last two biennial state budgets when it came to broadband expansion. And yet broadband was expanded over the last 4 years. So how was the state able to do that without the funding for it? Because obviously part of this question is how are we going to provide internet access in a way that is cost feasible? But there was no money for it in the budget, and yet we found a way to make it somehow to expand internet access. How did we do it?
Sure. So I will say part of it is just this like infrastructure timing issue. So in 2022, the governor allocated $100 million worth of American Rescue Plan, and the legislature allocated $125 million of state. And those, the year money is allocated and the year that broadband gets to folks is different, which is always really hard for people, right? And so we got the money in 2022, but really, like, when you see the change on the map and you see sort of all the people getting broadband, that really happens in 23, 24, 25. And so a lot of the progress that we've seen in the last 3 years is from those 2022 investments. And then a lot of it's also, you know, internet service providers are businesses and they're always investing in their networks. It's not just public dollars that go into them. And so they're growing their networks on their own for their own business reasons.
Let's go to Bob in Clay Banks next. Bob, hi.
Hi, Lee. Thanks for taking the call. I was wondering if we have any rights to the phone company right now. You know, back when it was a monopoly, I'm not sure what was decided when they broke things, but I wondered that if the phone company was responsible for maintaining these copper lines based on the legislation that allowed them to do business.
Bob, thank you. Alyssa?
So Wisconsin Act 11, way back in, no, Wisconsin Act, sorry, I'm not going to get the act right, but back in 2011, telephone service was largely deregulated in the state. And so they basically, the state legislature said kind of, there's enough, the marketplace will take care of making sure that everybody has service. And so it's no longer that they have service territories or certain areas that they must serve. It's basically a deregulated marketplace in Wisconsin for telephone service. There are some providers that receive some money from what's called the State Universal Service Fund, and they have an area of the state or that they must serve and they must offer the Lifeline program. But largely, when somebody wants to retire their service, they go all the way, not to the state, but they go to the Federal Communications Commission. The FCC makes the decision if they can retire that sort of copper plant or not, and then the state just gets notified.
Bob, thank you for the call. Our guest, Alyssa Kenny, State Broadband and Digital Equity Director for the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin. And you can join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us, talk@wpr.org. Alyssa, I've heard you mentioned a few times, unregulated, it was deregulated. When we look at what happens in the future to provide internet accessibility to all throughout Wisconsin, is part of the story going to be the question of regulation and policy?
No, I don't. Yeah, certainly that. I'll leave the policy to the legislature and sort of the elected officials. I think, you know, that the method we've been using for the last few years is basically grant funding. So we've been using public, we've basically been using public funds to entice and in some ways sort of really make providers stretch their networks into these unserved locations. And so we've basically been providing kind of the money for the capital investment to get there. And that's been a pretty effective tool. Not perfectly effective, not quite reaching everybody, but you're still seeing, you know, if you look at the governor's task force report, you're seeing, you know, 740,000 Wisconsinites that went from unserved to served in the last 5 years. You're seeing a million people with better service. You're seeing 400. I mean, you're seeing some pretty incredible results just from kind of the marketplace and then grant funding driving dollars to those capital investments. And so I would maybe leave kind of the regulatory piece to people who are elected to make those decisions. But I will say grant funding, you know, it's certainly not the only tool, but it's the tool we have right now. And it's really helped get broadband to a lot of communities, but it has not gotten us to universal service and to everybody in the state quite yet.
So what about the folks that it's just not cost feasible, grant or otherwise, to get a fiber optic cable all the way to their home or provider? Is satellite internet going to be an option going forward? Is that something that would be a piece of the equity pie as you see it, Alyssa?
Sure. So I think there's satellite. And then I think now there's really, I would say, two different tiers of satellite. It sounds like you maybe had somebody on but like low Earth orbit satellite. Mm-hmm. So the satellites that are smaller and closer and have a little bit better performance for people, and then satellites that are way up there that people have had those big dishes in their backyards for a long time. And so satellite, it's not effective for every household. It doesn't always quite work, but it really, the performance has been improving a lot. And it is a way for some of those remote locations. And then not everybody needs a wireline connection. There's also what we would call fixed wireless, very similar to like a service off of a cell tower, but except the service doesn't think you're moving around in the car, the service knows you're fixed in your home. And so And there's lots of people throughout Wisconsin that get internet service that way. And that's another technology that's been around for a long time, but their performance and the sort of capacity and the speed and all those things that people really want in their internet keeps on improving. It keeps on improving, though, when providers make investments, right? It keeps on improving when they decide to improve it. And that's where we can't always make them improve it, right? And so just because the technology is available doesn't mean that every provider deploys it to every customer.
And fixed wireless is largely coming from the cellular companies, right? And specifically the big three, is it AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, or is it coming from others?
I would say there's lots of, there's
okay.
There's over 112 providers of internet in the state of Wisconsin, so there's lots of them. and then the fixed wireless providers make up probably at least 60 of those. So there's companies that might, they might even rent space on a tower that also show, you know, is also broadcasting radio.
Sure.
And so, there's some small, we call them WISPs in our office, wireless internet service providers. And no, there's many of them. They might provide, you know, just to like 17, you know, lakes up in Vilas County, and they might have a quite small area. And so there are a number of small and then larger providers in the state, but it's not just the main sort of name brand carriers that you think of as national.
Thank you for that. Let's go to Stephanie in Portage next. Stephanie, hi.
Hi, how are you guys today? And thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I'm kind of concerned when I heard the lady speak of Frontier. I live in rural Portage between Portage and Merrimack, and Frontier provides our internet and our landline. We got a landline because the cell phone service out here is horrible. I live a mile and a half from AT&T Tower, and half the time I can't get a call through. So the landline is important because we have a small homestead, emergencies, whatever. And so how are we going to go, you know, if we can't get one to work and they're taking the other away, where are we at here?
Well, I don't know that Frontier is going away across the board, right, Alyssa?
I believe they just filed to sort of retire certain areas of the state. So
okay.
I don't want to sort of misspeak to their filing. But that, I mean, that's the concern, right? You had a wire line, or you had like who you sort of considered your regular provider, and now they're leaving, and you have to basically either use the cell phone provider, or you have to see them. It is possible for some locations that there's a small provider that you didn't know about that might actually reach you now. Unfortunately, broadband and even telephone service is not just like water, where you just know who your water provider is, right? You get to an address and there's no choice, there's no research, there's no trying to figure out if it's going to work in your house. And unfortunately for telephone service and cell service and broadband, the customer has a bunch of responsibility to sort of figure out, well, could this provider possibly reach me? What's the cost going to be? You know, does this cell phone service work in my, will it work in my home so I can make those emergency phone calls? And then for some people, it's the solution might be a satellite solution and using what we would call voice over IP to call on a satellite phone.
Kathy from Amherst emailed to ask if communities themselves could create their own internet sort of co-op. Is there opportunities to sort of, I don't know, have a local town say we're going to provide our own internet the same way we do provide our own garbage disposal?
In the state of Wisconsin, there's some sort of, I would say, some regulatory burdens to what we would call like municipal broadband, so like a city or a town. And
yeah.
So there's some requirements to give some public notice, to do some studies. But there's a number of communities that own their own network. The city of Superior is one. They often own their own network, but then they might have an internet service provider be like the operator on the network. So they make sure everybody is served. They sort of control some of the terms, maybe even create some affordability programming. So they actually own the physical infrastructure, but then they bring in an internet service provider to do that, like customer support and then make sure the network and monitor the network. And so we see that City of Superior, there's some other, and then we also see like City of Reedsburg has municipal, their own municipal broadband called Lightspeed. And then there's some electric co-ops that are also providing it to their members, like on Washington Island. Washington Island Electric Co-op is also an internet service provider.
Is there a place I can go to see what sort of providers might be offering internet service in my community?
Sure. So, I mean, we have a very detailed Wisconsin broadband map where you could type in your address and you could find who's serving it. And I will say our map is really designed a little bit more for like community planners, and it's designed for people who really want all the details, like what's every plan and what's all the speeds. And it's not, but, you know, I would say there's some commercial sites, and just a regular Google search generally can give you some pretty good results. Our map is great. It will provide you everything, but sometimes people don't need everything. They just need what's most relevant to them.
As mentioned earlier, Alyssa, that this is the sixth and final report of the governor's task force on broadband access. Where would you like to see this go from here? And would you like to see the next administration continue with this mission?
Yes. I mean, I think, you know, so the task force members, they have worked so incredibly hard developing recommendations. And I know people want to talk about access because not everyone has access in the state, but I really just wanted to highlight that the task force members in the report, it really also talks about how important it is that internet is affordable and that everybody in our state like feels like they know how to subscribe and has the digital skills and has a device that works and feels like they have sort of the cybersecurity supports. And it's really important that when people get to the internet, that they can get the things they want, like government services and actually log into the healthcare appointment. And so I hope as we get closer and closer to that like 99% connectivity in the state, that we invest more time and energy in those things like affordability and digital skills and AI readiness that's gonna keep coming. People need to understand the internet when they get there and feel really comfortable and safe there.
When we talk about internet affordability, the steps toward that, I've heard you mention grants before, but what more could be done? Is competition part of this question?
Certainly, where there's competition, there are lower prices. And, the federal government had just a really excellent program during the pandemic called the Affordable Connectivity Program. Congress did not refund that, but that provided a $30 discount, the money directly to the providers, but it created a very cost-effective program for 180,000 families in Wisconsin to get more affordable access. And so love to see a program like that coming out of the federal government or state government. But certainly that's one of the task force recommendations, is to really have a sustainable long-term affordability program that's not necessarily cutting into providers' profits, but provided through some other source.
Alyssa Kenny, it is a fascinating discussion. I want to thank you for your work. I want to thank you for sharing it with our audience today. And when this work continues, I hope we have the opportunity to catch up again.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I love talking about broadband to Wisconsin.
I can tell. It's you made it fun. I enjoyed it immensely. Alyssa Kenny is the State Broadband and Digital Equity Director for our Public Service Commission in Wisconsin. Her office manages the state's broadband expansion grant program. As mentioned earlier, last month, Governor Evers released his sixth and final report on broadband access in Wisconsin, and we are getting closer every year. I made a mistake earlier in the show. I had mentioned that Sandra Lee would be out at the state fair the same day I got all excited about it, and I was incorrect. So I want to make it clear that Sandra Lee will be out at the Grand Champion Hall at the Wisconsin State Fair on Tuesday, not Monday. I will be at the Wisconsin State Fair in the Grand Champion Hall on Monday, broadcasting live from 11 to 1. I hope to see you there, or I hope you listen online. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have some special guests lined up for you. It just won't be Sandra Lee, but that's all right by me. I want to thank our guest today. I want to thank you for being a part of our show, as well as our team, Joel Patenaude, Clara Nyepert, Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Lee Rayburn. I will see you Monday at the State Fair from 11 to 1, just not Sandra Lee. You're listening to WPR News.